Welcome back. You're listening to Voices from the Frontlines. Folks, stay tuned. At 5 o'clock, we're going to have Susie Wiseman. And, you know, you guys should just block your time between, you know, from 4 to 6, because that's what you should be listening down here at KPFK 90.7 FM. So on the phone, we have Nick Unger. He's a representative of the Transit Workers Union Local 100 from New York City, who will talk to us about the recent decision by the New York City or the New York MTA to raise fares, cut service, and begin the process of automizing some of the toll booths and also subway trains. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Thank you, Manuel. Nice to be on. How's everybody in L.A.?
Good. So, Nick, tell us what actually happened. So, from what I understand, last year there was an increase, just like here in Los Angeles, we had a fare increase that rise by 25%, you know, rise on the MTA bus and also a rise on bus passes. What happened this time? I know last year it raised to $2 your local fare, and they raised the bus pass to $70. What was this decision from last week?
Last year they raised the fares and cut service and said, well, now that we did that, we won't have to do it again. And that lasted about a year. And they came back and said they had to do it again because they're deep in the hole. And so the question is, are they deep in the hole? And is this the way to get out of the hole? And so that was what the union, we represent 38,000 transit workers, subways and buses in New York City and some of the surrounding areas, and the community, 7 million rides a day, had to deal with. And we had to answer those two questions, and we've come up with some answers that are pretty disturbing.
So what's the contradiction here? Like here in Los Angeles, you know, I'm an my full-time job is as an organizer with the Bus Riders Union, where the main contradiction is the construction of rail and suburban trains that is, you know, essentially disseminating the breaking down the bus system by and essentially making, you know, poor folks, people of color, to pay for, you know, sort of exuberant projects that most of the time don't even get built. What's happening in New York? Is that the same contradictions that's happening in New York?
It's not exactly. It's somewhat of a different history. Poor folks, the subway was built to get poor folks to work. And the buses were set up to get poor folks to work. That's the history in New York City. That makes it somewhat different than some of the other places, especially out west and especially L.A. And so the history of our subway system is the rich folks loot it. And the poor folks need it. And it's always been subsidized. The fare box can't pay for the subways. They don't pay for the subways in L.A. They don't pay for the buses. They don't pay for the subways in New York. They don't pay for the buses in Mexico. They don't pay for the buses anywhere in the world. The fare box is not supposed to pay for the service. The service is what society does to get folks to work, because supposedly getting to work is good for the country. And so it wants people to do that.
Hey, Nick, it's Eric Mann. How you doing?
Hello, Eric. How are you?
Good. Given that we both agree, I mean, the MTA, they're running at about a 32% fare box recovery, and we propose, if we could, a zero fare box recovery. I mean, why not, you know, just totally subsidize the fare? What is the specific proposal, and what's the status of it? Has it passed? What is the MTA?
The fix was in. They proposed, it's a complicated proposal, but when you break it down, it's not that complicated. Pay more for less.
How much more for how much less?
Well, some folks pay a lot more. Some folks only pay a little bit more. The monthly ticket went up about 10%. The weekly ticket went up about 15%. The single ride didn't go up at all. That way they could say there was no fare hike. They didn't change the fare. They just got rid of the discounts.
And the weekly is now how much?
The weekly is now 24, 27. The monthly is 76.
Got it.
That's a lot of money.
Yes, it is a lot of money.
And if you want the fare box to pay for the ride, that's a good thing to do. and we call that a limousine. The fare box pays for the ride, or a taxi. But that's not mass transit.
Right. Now, tell us a little bit about, we're trying to get a sense more quickly, Nick, on the facts first, and then we'll get back to the analysis. So has this
facts
passed?
Are simple. It passed. They proposed it. They tried to do it without public hearings. The law says you need public hearings. They had public hearings. And they set up a little dance by which the governor and the mayor control the MTA board. The governor controls the majority of the votes. The mayor controls the minority of the votes. The governor said, we're going to raise the fares. The mayor said, oh, no, please don't do that. And the governor went ahead and did it. Now, oddly enough, the mayor runs for re-election next year, so he could come out against the fare hike. The governor doesn't run for re-election for 2 years, so they can switch positions next year.
Well,
that's why we say the fix was in.
Right. So the fix was in, and the fix is usually in. The question we're trying to figure out is...
The vote was done. It's done. It passed.
Okay. Where was the UTU on this?
New York, it's the TWU. Transport.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The TWU.
We vigorously opposed the fare hike and the safety cuts. They call them service cuts. We call them safety cuts. That pulling people out of the system makes it dangerous. Taking clerks out of the booths makes the stations dangerous. And running the buses less frequently and the trains less frequently makes it dangerous.
Where was Dennis Rivera on this?
Silent. Just about everybody was quiet on this. This is it. Since the fix was clearly in, it was not a big public issue. And so what? Instead of having a big war over it, we're going to have house-to-house combat. As every booth they try and close, we're going to have to build a little mini community coalition to keep it open. Each step of the way now becomes a war.
Well, Nick, I know we were talking earlier about one of the things that is surprising from what you have in New York has been this alliance between, you know, the transit riders and bus riders and the transit workers union, where here in Los Angeles, for a variety of different, you know, contradictions that exist between people not wanting to take a stance against the agency when they work for them, we've had a general hard time to sort of move, particularly the leadership of the transit workers union here in Los Angeles. What I know, in many ways, the TWU was sort of one of the leading forces against this fare increase. What's behind that? I mean, why is there that the linkage that you feel that you've been able to build in New York?
I'd like to say it was enlightened wisdom. Maybe it was. But it's also very narrow politics. We can't get a good contract if the public is not on our side. The public has to feel that our issues are their issues. In the last contract, we made mistreatment of transit workers an issue that the public said to the government, you shouldn't treat them that bad. Do something. We seized the war for public opinion, hearts and minds, and we won it. And you can't go to the public and say, give us more money, we don't care about you. We want a raise, we don't care about the fare hike. We also don't believe that a fare hike is necessary. So it's both analytical and narrow political. You don't pee on your friends if you want to build a big coalition. And the riders really are, in this sense, central to our victory. The analysis is important, too. And that is that for the last 15 years, the state, federal, and city government have pulled out their money from the system. Hundreds of millions of dollars a year that used to go into it don't go into it anymore. And guess what? It's broke. And it's not broke because of the fare box. It's broke because the governor and the mayor don't put in subsidies anymore.
Well, you know, in L.A., the bus riders union is initiating a campaign on two specific, punitive actions on the MTA. One is that after we kept the fares down through a consent decree with them for 8 years and got it finally, they got it from $42 to $52 a month, which is still a lot lower than New York for an unlimited use bus pass, they're threatening us again with a fare increase. Now, we're starting in January, a preemptive campaign, because they may not move for the fare increase for 6 months or a year, and we're going to have to do that. Secondly, they're actually trying to set up a transit court where they're going to actually, if you're caught eating an apple on the bus, it's a $250 fine. If there's so-called fare evasion, it's a $250 fine. So there's a growing criminalization of all aspects. I mean, minor things that are, you know, could be handled in right now is even handled too strictly by going in front of a county court. But the county courts are a little sympathetic to somebody with no money, and they maybe make them pay $10. So now the MTA wants to get into the police industrial complex, you know. So we are trying to build this preemptive movement. Our problem is justice for janitors whose members are affected does not fight that hard on this. The UTU, the bus drivers union, does not fight this hard on this. In this case, the TWU, you know, they are sympathetic, but in their case, they don't want to take on the county supervisors, or they don't want to take on the their own employers. In your case, I know you have the strap hangers there, but it doesn't seem to be kind of a very big low-income, poor people's movement like there is here with the bus riders union. Is that correct or not?
There's no equivalent exactly of the bus riders union. The strap hangers is more of a middle class, a progressive, and solid transit allies. They're key friends, but they don't represent working people in the same way that the bus riders union does in L.A. I would have to say we've had some debate in our ranks. We had emails going back and forth saying we need more money, and isn't it stupid for us to make a big deal about the fare hike? Why don't we just low-key it, let them have their fare hike, and fight on the other issues? And so it's required some soul-searching and some maybe a little bit of internal education on our part. The members are pretty solid. And when you link the fare hike to the service cuts as one package, and the package is, what can we do without getting money from the government? That's what the MTA board is saying to us. We can't get money from the mayor, the governor, or the president, so how can we squeeze it out of the riders and the workers? And when people see that, the riders and the workers wind up in the same squeeze, it's not hard to find some ways to get along. The answer is you got to get more government money into the pot. And if you don't do that, mass transit goes down the tubes.
Well, we'd like to thank Nick Unger for joining us. I know that they can reach the TWU here in Los Angeles by going to the internet. It's www.twulocal100.org.
In New York.
In New York. So I'd like to thank you, Nick Unger. Today, you know, I'd like to just really thank everybody who's been listening to us for the whole year now. You know, we've just celebrated our first year here on the air in KPFK. We'd like to thank them for giving us the opportunity to have the show. I'd like to thank you for listening to our show. Today, we'd like to thank our guests, Nick Unger, Maya Rockamore, Ben Plenton. And today's music, we actually had Charles Mingus, Rubén Blades, Arrested Development, Chocolate Milk, and Mandrill. We'd like to thank our producer, Alan Minsky, our engineer, Maggie LaPique. We'll see you next week. And, you know, stay tuned to Susie Wiseman with Under Beneath the Surface.
You've been listening to the 4 o'clock report, Voices from the Frontline edition on listener-supported KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, and at kpfk.org across the globe. Stay tuned for Beneath the Surface with Susie Wiseman to discuss vital local and international issues. It's coming up next.